Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever gone on a treasure hunt? Maybe you followed a map, searched for clues, or dug around in the dirt looking for something hidden. Treasure hunts are exciting because you never know exactly where you'll find the prize. But what if you went on a treasure hunt and instead of searching for gold coins or buried jewels, you were looking for a mushroom-like fungus hidden underground? And what if I told you that finding one could be worth a lot of money? That's exactly what people do when they go truffle hunting. Have you ever heard of a truffle before? If so, you might be thinking of a chocolate truffle, the delicious dessert shaped like a little ball. But the truffles we're talking about today are something completely different. They're part of a rare fungus that grows underground, and finding them can feel a lot like searching for hidden treasure. You know how fruit and vegetables and flowers and trees all come from a seed? Well, mushrooms and other fungi come from spores.
The fungus is microscopic, but when it wants to reproduce, it makes a truffle, which is like a ball of spores.
This is Rowan Jacobson. He's an author, and he wrote a book all about truffles and truffle hunting called Truffle Hound. Before working on his book, Rowan had heard about truffles. They're normally used at fancy restaurants and grated or shaved over dishes like pasta, eggs, and even French fries. But Rowan had never seen a whole truffle before, and he remembers his first experience with a truffle, especially how it smelled.
It was pretty big. It was probably the size of a tennis ball, which is a big one, and that's why it was being displayed under a glass bell in the center of this very fancy dining room in a restaurant in Barolo in northern Italy. And this was the fall, the peak of white truffle season. And I just walked by and noticed the truffle there, and I knew it was truffle season. And I just started to lift up that bell to smell it, and the smell that came out completely floored me. A ripe truffle has an intense smell that almost makes you fall over. I was kind of curious about truffles, but I hadn't expected that that smell alone was going to send me, you know, down this rabbit hole of basically a 3-year journey to write this book.
Wow, that makes me want to smell a truffle. To understand why truffles have such a distinct and interesting smell, we have to go back to understanding this fungus organism living underground. Rowan mentioned earlier that the underground fungus is microscopic, or super tiny, but that there are millions of little fungus strands connected together underground.
They're just this web of tiny filaments, really microscopic, but they go all through the soil, and one teaspoon can actually have miles of these filaments in them. So that is the organism.
Like all organisms, at some point this fungus needs to reproduce or create more of itself by spreading its spores all over. That's where the smell comes in.
When it wants to reproduce, when it wants to spread its spores around, how's it going to do that as an underground organism? How's it going to get those spores far away? So what the organism has figured out is that it makes that little ball of spores smell incredibly good to an animal, so that the passing animal will feel compelled to dig it up, eat it, and then later spread the spores through the forest.
I get it. So the little balls of fungus spores, or truffles, smell really good to convince animals to stop, eat them, and later drop the spores in other parts of the forest when they poop. That's pretty smart. Today, animals are still key to finding truffles in the ground. Humans know that truffles exist underground in the forest, especially near oak and hazelnut trees. However, we rely on our animal friends to track these truffles down.
Everyone thinks that probably the way that people first got clued into truffles was farmers watching their pigs start rooting around in the forest any chance they got and scarfing up these funny little stinky potatoes, as the farmers used to call them back in the day. Pigs go crazy for the things. So then people started taking their pigs into the forest on purpose once we got a taste for truffles. And what you would do is you'd bring a little like bucket of grain with you. And once the pigs start digging for the truffles, so you know where they are, you throw some grain, the pigs go and start eating the grain, and you dig up the truffle before the pig can get it. But that system was always kind of awkward. The pigs really like the truffles. So, you know, there's these stories out there of 9-fingered truffle hunters who were trying to wrestle a precious truffle out of the mouth of their pig.
Oh dear. Pigs really are obsessed with truffles if they're willing to chomp down on a human finger to protect their snack. And I guess pigs know better than to be distracted from their delicious truffles by a few pieces of grain. Humans eventually started using a different animal that was easier to train, but still had an excellent nose for truffles.
So, starting in the late 1700s, everybody switched to dogs. Dogs are great. They're really good at smelling the truffles. They're easier to train, and they don't care that much about eating the truffles. The idea that one of the world's greatest ingredients is hiding out there in the mud, and you can only find it with a dog. Like, this is probably a $1 billion industry worldwide, and it's entirely dependent on dogs. The whole thing falls apart without them. So I love that they're a key part of this and that they're really revered for it. So yeah, the dogs were a huge plus.
Truffle hunting really is like searching for buried treasure with help from your dog best friend. When Rowan was writing his book about truffle hunting, he knew that he needed to get out and be a part of the action. However, a lot of truffle hunters are secretive about where they go truffle hunting. Truffles can be worth a lot of money, and professional truffle hunters don't want to give away their secret truffle hunting spots to competitors.
They are secretive about it because anyone else could come along and steal their spot, so they really don't want you to know what their great spots are, at least if you're a potential truffle hunter. So they go to great lengths to conceal those places. In Italy, they always hunt at night, which makes it a lot harder. And they have all these excuses for why they hunt at night. One, that they don't want anyone to know what they're doing. Two, that the air is cooler and there's no wind, so the truffle scents are stiller on top of the ground and the dogs can find them better.
Ultimately, Rowan was able to get out on the truffle hunts once the hunters realized that he was there to praise their beloved truffle dogs.
I spent a great deal of time basically begging truffle hunters to take me out with them because, of course, they all hate to give away their spots. But once they saw that I was really excited about it and that I wasn't going to, you know, suddenly be in business against them selling truffles, I just wanted to eat them and write about it. Then they were pretty happy to take me along. And it was funny, what I found is that the truffle hunters don't want attention for themselves. They don't want anyone to know what they're up to, but they all think their dogs are awesome.
The truffle hunters want their dogs to have all sorts of attention. That makes sense because some of these truffle hunting dogs can be pretty fancy.
There's a famous Italian breed called a Lagotto Romagnolo that is specifically bred for truffle hunting and has a ton of cachet, and a lot of the top hunters use Lagottos. Now people in the US are super excited to get their hands on a Lagotto and pay minimum $5,000 to get one. But then some of the best hunters in Europe I talked to said, you know, any dog off the street can do this if you get them when they're young and you train them properly. So people have strong preferences, but I've seen everything from a dachshund to a black lab do very well at truffle hunting. I've been impressed by some of the dachshunds. Obviously, they can only do it in terrain that is appropriate, you might say, but they've got the chops, you know, they can do it.
I love picturing a little dachshund diving into the mud, looking for delicious truffles. What type of dog would you want to bring with you on your truffle treasure hunt? When Rowan was first learning about truffles, he focused on fancy European truffles that are famous all around the world. French black truffles and Italian white truffles, for example. However, he eventually learned that you can find truffles in the United States as well.
We have great truffles, and that was one of the big revelations for me, was that I definitely bought into sort of the old school myths at first that you had to go to Europe to get the great ones. And those are great truffles over there. I've just been shocked at how good some of these American truffles are, and equally shocked that nobody knows about it. So Oregon's a good example here. They have a black truffle and a white truffle and a couple of other truffles that have incredible aromatic qualities to them, but only when they're ripe. A truffle, just like any other fruit, when it's unripe, it really doesn't have very interesting smell at all. Purposefully, because it doesn't want to get eaten yet until it's ready. So then once the truffle has grown and the spores have matured inside, then it's going to turn on all those great aromatics. And that's when a dog is going to detect it, because the dog has been trained to look for those aromatics.
So truffles only smell good to dogs when they're ripe. That makes sense.
But in Oregon, the truffles grow just a couple of inches under the ground in pretty soft soil. So what people realized they could do there is, if they kind of figured out the right area to go to, they could just take rakes and literally just rake all of the soil under the trees for sometimes an acre to get every single truffle that was growing in that first layer of the soil. What happens when you do that are a couple of bad things. One, you really screw up all the microorganisms that are in that soil, including the ones that are making the truffles. So it's not good for the trees. It's not good for future truffles. But two, you're getting every single truffle, 90% of which are not ripe yet and don't have much smell.
Oh no. So rather than relying on dogs to help them find the ripe truffles, humans in Oregon just raked up a bunch of unripe truffles that aren't as good. You can't cut the dogs out of a truffle treasure hunt.
What was missing was the dog element. Dogs only detect ripe truffles. So a couple of people in Oregon have really pushed dog culture, and now everyone understands that you're supposed to look for dog-harvested truffles in particular. And those, when you get those from Oregon, they're really good.
Wow, I love how these dogs are so important to the truffle treasure hunting process. Truffles might be an expensive and fancy food, but what brings the most wonder to my mind in this story is the way that dogs, humans, and even a fungus all work together. The fungus wants to spread its spores, the dogs want to find something that smells amazing, and the humans want fancy, delicious truffles to enjoy. In this truffle treasure hunt, everyone wins. So keep your eyes open for ways that organisms work together in the natural world. It's amazing to see the way that plants, animals, and fungi can really help each other out.
A quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.